prayer, and then we'll sing some of those good old songs. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here and for all the souls that are here, for the homes that are represented. And I pray, Lord, please that you be with us. Thank you for seeing Taylor and Christy safely over to the States, and pray you for your good hand upon them the whole time they're there, for things to be sorted out for them. But we pray you, Lord, especially for your presence this morning. Please put your good hand upon each one of us. Lord, please honour us as we honour you, and bless us this morning, Lord, with a bit of lifting up. Lord, a bit of wisdom. If we needed a bit of chastening, Lord, strengthening, maybe even a bit of direction. But Father, please, please be with us, and not with us only, but our brothers and sisters right the way across the world. They would be inspired, that they would get some good preaching and teaching from your word. And Lord, that your children would stand up to be counted. Please, Lord, I pray you for divine provision and protection for them, for us all. I pray you, Lord, for a great conviction upon our leaders, not just the UK, Lord, but all the leaders of all the countries in the world. I pray you, Lord, please, please work in their hearts and minds. Not only there, but our neighbours. Think especially on Stephen and Anne Marie, and Marie and Harry, and Carol, and Jane and Corey, and Norman and Joan, Lord, Michael and his family, and Henry and Evelyn and their family. Lord, please help us to be good neighbours. Lord, we just love you and thank you. And we pray you would keep us company this morning as we spend this time singing your praises and around your word. We love you and praise you. Amen. Okay, let's get stuck into some of those good old songs. If you want to open up the wee black hymn book, we'll start with number 11 and we'll just take them in order. Hymn number 11. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. Flip over a page and we'll go to number 13. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Hymn number 13 in the wee black book. Get some of those good old songs going. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy fears subside, death of death and hell's destruction. Let me sleep on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. Seated. Thank you very much. Are you fit to read, Norman? Come on ahead then, Bill. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
This morning's reading is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. The elders which are among you exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown, glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you are be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and domination ever and ever. But Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church, which is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and do doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Norman. Some good verses there. I like those ones, the warnings of the old devil. Amen. Just want to take a moment or two. Let me a prayer list there, Mrs. Bradfield. All mine have gotten disappeared on me. Thank you. Make sure you get one of those wee light green prayer lists. And I don't know where mine went to. I occasionally clear out the printed, all the old printed messages, even more so now, to make sure I don't lose one. But I seem to have done the same with my prayer list. So please do take time to pray for the items that are mentioned here. I hope you all got a text about Colin's granddad. He had a TIA. He's still in hospital. Colin reckons he'll be there for a week and then he'll be out. But this is seemingly something that has been coming for a long time. So please do pray. His name's Paddy. What's his surname? Paddy McConnell. Please do pray for Paddy McConnell if you would. Christy and Taylor got safely into, is it New York? Or it is New York. I got a note from them sometime yesterday, so they're safe and sound across in the US. Just pray that all of their paperwork and one thing and another gets sorted out and that it doesn't cause any undue separations. I do know of Stuart that goes to Stan's church, married a girl from the Philippines, and I think he was a month or two away from her whenever he got married and had to come back, and it was a month or two before she got all of her paperwork done. It's not pleasant when you're separated from someone that you've just stood up before God and man to say you want to spend the rest of your life with, but it happens. So please do pray for Christy and Taylor. Don't forget Pat and Steve. Don't forget Esther, Leonard, Christine and Mary Ann. Frank as well. We miss Frank too. And I think that's about that, isn't it? All the folks that have been and gone. All the folks that could be here. All the folks that we're reaching out to and inviting to be here. There's a lot going on. We haven't unfortunately been out and about reaching out because we've been out and about working outside of the church. But it's coming along. That point there means that we are, like I said, halfway to the end of this hall and then the rest of the work. It'll be easy, Norman, won't it? Hopefully not as interesting as the last wee few bits have been, but we appreciate your prayers. The work's not done yet. We still appreciate your prayers. There's a wee bit of work to be done on the roof as well, so please do pray about that. Still a lot going on in the world. Things are not looking great. Please do pray for our leaders. And the Bible also says to pray the Lord for your daily bread, for the things. Pray about the things that you need day in and day out. It's not a sin to pray for things that you want or things that you need. If it's just something you want, you'll probably not get it. But pray for God's will in your life as well. Life is going to get interesting over the next few weeks and months and maybe even year or two. Interestingly enough, a lot of the stuff, if not all of it, was mentioned in the Bible and the way things would go. It doesn't make life any easier, but it does help you take a different point of view at it all. It's happening the way God said it would. Before it gets really, really bad, the Lord will be back for those that have chosen him as Savior. And then it will get really bad, but please do pray and don't be afraid to speak to people about the Lord. People need to hear about Jesus, especially in these dark days when I think everything that's going on is working very sorely on people's fears. Bible does talk as well about people that are wicked getting worse and worse, and we can see that happening too. Don't forget to stand on the word of God. Don't let go. Stand always on the rock. Right. Is there anything else we would need to be adding to that? If we could get like a week of that weather there, I reckon we could be nearly down to the end of the church. But please do pray for our weather and strength and wisdom. And for Norman, that is, I'm just the guy that hands him tools and things like that and carries stuff for him. So anyway, I think that's about that. All right, let's pray. And then we'll have another song or two. Well, would you lead us in a wee word of prayer, please, if you would,
Bob? Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the song, well, Lord. May not be so, Lord. Help the Bob in the restoration to the church, Lord. Help him, give him skill, give him the weather, give him safety, and Lord, provide for him and keep him as well, Lord. With that, some ground, with Ireland, release him out, deliver him from any troubles, Lord, and bless him, and keep him safe and well, Lord. With Frankie's in London, deliver him from any trouble, Lord. Keep him safe and well, Lord, draw him a closer walk for me. Also be not just shining, Lord, with him also, Lord. With my mother and my grandmother, bless them and keep them safe, Lord. And bring them, take them to church next appointed time, Lord. With Colin's grandfather, and stroke, Lord, you know what I need, Lord. Heal them and deliver them and save his soul and love from my soul and fight them and keep them in that as well. With Charlotte also, keep us safe from well, Lord. With Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, bring them to church, save their souls, Lord, and save them mighty and powerful by the Holy Blood, the cross, yet on the cross by Jesus, Lord. With Esther, Lord, help them in infirmities, Lord, and take heal her pain. Don't let the lymphoma come back, Lord. But any pain or affliction in her skin or in her bones, Lord, you would heal it, Lord. And Lord, bless her and keep her as well. With Christy, Taylor, Lord, pray with them as they're in the States, Lord. Give them from any trouble, give them mercy, Lord, help them in their pure work, Lord. Take away any trouble from them, Lord, and give them safe passage and deliver them, keep them, provide for them as well, Lord. With all the people that have right this covered and represented by each family, Lord, bless us, Lord, and keep us, Lord. If more has come to divide to the gospel, Lord, and Lord, may it be a blessing to us, and Lord, may it be a sweet savour unto thee as well, Lord. Fly on and fly, glory to Jesus Christ, amen.
Right, thank you, Will. Let's take our hymn books again. I know we just skipped the big ones this time. And we'll do hymn number 75 next. Hymn number 75, on Jordan's Stormy Banks. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land.
Promised land. Oh, who will come and the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen. We'll sing one more. Number 4. The way of the cross leads home. Amen. Number 4. If you're fit, we'll stand. If you're not able to stand, remain seated. As long as you make a bit of noise and praise in the Lord. The way of the cross leads home.
I must needs go home by the way. Cross, there's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. Sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights of life, where the soul is at home with God. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home, where He waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The
seated. Thank you very much. We shall look forward to singing. What one was it? 25? At the end of the service. In the meantime, take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And I'd like to spend a few minutes towards the end of Matthew chapter 23 on the subject of how often. It's Matthew 23 verse, beginning at verse number 34 and reading through until the end. Amen. Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse number 34. As I was reading through Nehemiah, I think it was, I recall to mind reading a little bit about saying where the priest stood up and read for the fourth part of the day out of the Bible. And I know some of us, and I'm not talking about us in particular, but God's people would have difficulty sitting in church for the fourth part of the day. Fourth part of the day would be about 4 hours, 3 or 4 hours. Can you imagine that, sitting in church listening to someone reading the Bible? That would be like being back in school and having to smile and pretend you're happy to the priest, because don't forget, the priest had a lot of power back in those days. Anyway, I'm not going to keep to that long. We're in Matthew 23, beginning at verse number 34. These are the quoted words of Jesus Christ, because in my Bible they're in red, and the putter togethers of this copy of the King James did their very best to record all of the words of Jesus Christ in red ink so we could have an idea. Anyway, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I come unto you, verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Amen. Tail end of verse number 37 is our text. The question or statement that the Lord makes about how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. How often is the title? Let's have another short word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for your word and for your Son, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for like-minded brethren. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to spend in your word and in your presence. And I pray you, Lord, for words of inspiration for all of us, for all of those that are standing to preach your word and the full counsel of it. Please inspire and deliver the words to be said, Lord. Most importantly, we pray for your will to be done. We just love you and praise you and thank you for this time. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Right. I always like to have a look at the verses that we have read. Many times there is often much more than just the verse that we're interested on that speaks to us, or we could learn from and grow from. So as we open up this portion of God's word, we see the Lord Jesus Christ claiming to be God. He says, "I'm God." Well, he doesn't actually say it like that. He said, "I send unto you prophets and holy men and wise men." And many times, he said, even the words that they have written down, you quote. But I sent them to you. I'm God. I sent these men to you. And people didn't like that, because history has shown that whenever you stand up and start telling people they're wrong, they're oftentimes not very happy about it. And we know that Herod wasn't very happy whenever he was told he was wrong. He locked up John the Baptist for it. And we see many times, even back in Daniel's day, how the king was for throwing Daniel into the den of lions. And Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the flaming fiery furnace, for saying, "No, king, you're wrong, and we're not going to do what you want for us to do." But Jesus said, it's like all of these guys, you pretty much give them a hard time, even unto their very deaths. And you claim it was your fathers that did all of this. And the Lord said, the price or the cost for you doing these things and living the way that would encourage other people to do these things. He says, it's going to come upon you now, this generation. There is a cost to rejecting God, and there is a cost to not living for God. I'm going to skip verse number 37. And I want for us to go on to 38 and 39. And I want for you to bear in mind just for a moment about all the people that did trust in God. And there are a few people in the Bible. I'm sure you could think of a few. There was Esther. You remember Esther? The right place at the right time to save all of the Jewish people. Rahab the harlot, a member of Jericho, a citizen of Jericho that was about to be destroyed. You all know how that ended up for the people of Jericho. The walls all fell down except for Rahab's house and the people in it. They were the only ones that were spared. They had Joseph, and he had a roller coaster life there for quite a few years. One minute he was the favored son, the next he was a servant, then a prisoner, and then he was raised up to the right hand of the king of Egypt. The only time Egypt has ever been used as a positive, as a type of God. His faithfulness was rewarded. Noah's faithfulness was rewarded with the saving of his family and being used by God to build an ark and to store or carry all the animals. The animals that we see today, all the land-based animals, their ancestors were on the ark. You had Gideon, Moses, Joshua, Samson, Deborah. Remember old Elijah and Elisha, fire down from heaven, etc., etc. Of course, we had Daniel and his three brethren. You had Jeremiah and Zechariah and the minor prophets and the major prophets. All of these people I sent and I preserved and I kept their stories so that you could learn, but yet and all, you resist them at every turn. They were all mine. I called them, I inspired them, I provisioned them, and they went. But they were mine. Now, sad thing about it is life hasn't changed much because people haven't changed much. People don't want to be told they're wrong. This is a strange age that we live in. Most people, they want a big arm around their shoulder, a wee pat on the chest or on the head and said, you're doing okay. That's what most people want. And we've been raised up to believe that as long as we're doing okay, we're okay. And the sad thing about it is we're doing exactly the same to people that come along with the preaching of the cross. We don't want to hear it. Because that would mean we're not doing okay. That would mean we're sinners. And we need to get right with God. And for some strange reason, we seem to think that what rattles around in our heads is a far greater value than the written, preserved, divinely protected word of God that has been saving souls and families and even countries ever since it was placed into our hands. Well, friends, Jesus had a wee message for all of those people. And you might not think it's very important or big, if you want to call it that. But at the very, very, the last two verses in Matthew chapter 23, he says, the first thing he says, your house is left unto you desolate. Why would that be? Well, the Lord said, different places, he said, he that gives up his life for me, he will gain his life. But he that gains his life, in other words, spends his whole life trying to make something of himself, forgetting Jesus Christ, forgetting salvation, and forgetting about living the way the Lord said, he'll lose everything. So he said, your houses are desolate. And here's something else. Here's something for you to think over in eternity. He says, you'll never see me again until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he's saying this to the man, the people that put him on the cross. Now, does anyone recall to mind a little verse in the scriptures that say, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Have you ever heard of that? Bible says there'll come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means, and we know what day that is because it's not today, it's not in the lives that we have now. It's whenever people suddenly realize, hold on a second, I really was wrong. And I was so wrong for my whole life, I rejected Christ as my Savior. And here I am, standing before the great white throne of judgment, as mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. I am lost. I don't have the righteousness of God protecting me from the consequences of my sins. And there's Jesus on the throne, the great white throne of judgment. That's what Jesus said to the Christ rejectors. He says, the next time you see me, you'll be on bended knee. You will have to admit, because you will know deep down in your heart that I was right and you were wrong. And that's the thing that winds everybody up. God's right, you're wrong. And that's just before you're thrown into the lake of fire. And that's well worth thinking about. Now, what about the other side of that coin? What about the people that do accept Jesus Christ as Savior? Well, Jesus said, you can see me every day. Whenever he walked and talked with the people there, you can come and visit me every single day. And I would say, John the Apostle was one of those guys. Remember the apostle that the Bible says that Jesus loved? Actually, it wasn't the apostle that Jesus loved. It was the apostle that loved Jesus more than everybody else. Because maybe as soon as the doors were open, John was there. Lord, tell me about today. I want to listen to what you say. And he might have said, come on with me and we'll go and preach. We'll go and minister to people. We'll go and heal people. What about you and me? What about the people after these days? Well, you can get to see Jesus every day if you really want to. You can get to experience his company, his presence, the power of God, the blessings of God. You can get that every day if you want it, and all you have to do is admit that Jesus Christ is Lord and do things his way. That's all you have to do. Do it my way. The sad thing about all these other lost souls is they think that God hates them, and that's not the case. It's they hate God. They hate God so much they are prepared to turn down the free gift of everlasting life. Just out of hand. Oh, I don't like that. That means I'll have to be a holy Jew. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying no to drinking and smoking and cursing and swearing and profanity and violence? What's wrong with saying no to that? They have never made anybody a better person. Ever. They might make you a better drinker or a better smoker or a better drug taker. They might make you a greater whoremonger or a greater killer, but they'll not make you a better person. It will certainly not seal your home in heaven. Anybody that doesn't make it to heaven is because they hated God. It's because they turned their nose up at Jesus Christ, a free gift, by the way. It's because they wanted to do things their way. I got to thinking about verse number 37, and this is the heart of Jesus was for his people. Because the children of Israel are, I'm trying to say they're a bit like God's thermometer, but that's not the way. They're a bit more like God's, what's the other one? Thermostat, that's the one. My head's away this morning. They were the ones that God used to show his glory in the world, to show what he can do with the littlest of people whenever his hand is upon them, whenever they have his power, his blessing, his provision. These are his physical people. And this was his desire, that they would all be saved. And this was his cry, his words were, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to thee," which we've already spoken about. "How often would I have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings." And it doesn't say you could not, it says you would not. You chose not to. It's not that you weren't able to, you just didn't want to. And I got to thinking about that. How often has God called not just the children of Israel? We know from the times that we have spent in the Old Testament, the number of times God has said, "Do it my way and you'll be untouchable. Thumbs up." And the number of times, like for a few years, they do it God's way and they are untouchable. But then they start to believe it's because they are untouchable. Not that God has made them untouchable or unbeatable. And then they walk away from God, the very thing that keeps them there. And things start to go badly wrong and God chastens them and they call upon him and he lifts them up again. And then for a while they're great and then they go away from God and they're down and then they cry out for God and he lifts them up again. It's literally like Barry's roller coaster. If it's even still there. I think it's sold now, isn't it? I got to thinking about us even. I know there are times in our lives when things are going more smoothly than others. I know there are times whenever we're on the mountaintops, we're seeing that fresh air, we're breathing it in, and the sunshine is heating us, warming us up, and it's a little bit like the sun coming through those windows. It's just nice to have it. Sunshine makes everything brighter. You would think today, even amongst saved people, that when God calls us, certainly we'll answer. When God says, "Come under my wings and I'll protect you," you would think that God's people would say, "Yep, let's go." But we've been watching too many movies and things like that, and we automatically think that it's maybe something like a magical talisman that will produce a big force field that will stop meteorites and one thing and another from hitting us, but that's not the way it works. It's doing what God says that protects you. You would think Christians, people that have tasted judgment in time to accept salvation, having done that and having been made sure of a home in heaven, that they would say, "Yep, God, you know what? I nearly made the biggest mistake of my life there. I am glad that I accepted you as my Savior. If I've done that for the endless ages of eternity, do you know what? I think I'll listen to you for the few years that I have left in this world." You would think we would do that. But saved people, I think the Lord said one time, the children of this world are smarter than the children of the light whenever it comes to doing stuff in this world. We're a bit stupid sometimes. We think Jesus saved us. We're going to heaven and we think we're okay. And it always reminded me a bit of the airport. When you go to the airport, if you're going internationally, they say, what is it, 2 or 3 hours before you go, you're supposed to be in the airport. You're supposed to be ready to go like 3 hours before the plane takes off. What do you do for 3 hours in an airport? You don't have all of your comforts around you. You don't even have your car or anything like that around you. What do you do? Do you sit like a robot? Do they stack people in shelves whilst they wait for their plane to be called? You know, people do things. They go and look for food. Maybe they'll go and play games. I know a lot of people have their phones and their video games don't appear as much as they used to. Or people will buy a paper or a book or do something to put in the time. Something you would like to think constructive, but many times it's just putting in the time. A lot of times that is all that we do. We just put in the time. Got a few things here that God calls people to him for, but many times the people think they've something better. Biggest one is what? Salvation. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just come to me. I will never forsake you. I will never cast you out. I will never leave you. Come to me, he says, and I will keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out forever. That's the salvation, the promise, the guarantee, the steadfastness of God's salvation. Come to me, I will give you the payment for your sins. You would think, that sounds great. That really does sound great. But yet and all, let's be honest. So how many churches and Joe Publics in this world are working their way to heaven, are doing the best that they can? Many of the so-called Christian churches, they don't have a guy stand at the front to say, Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross to pay for all sin. He has yours waiting for him, and whenever you make space in your heart for it by repenting of your sin, he will give you that payment for your sin. But yet and all, people try so many other different ways. We could go into them all, but we're not going to, because I have a bunch more of these things to look at. People will trust the church. Oh, if you do X, Y, and Z in the church, you'll get to heaven. If you're always busy, you'll get to heaven. If you help little old ladies across the road, you'll get to heaven. If you're baptized, if you go through confirmation, if you have holy orders, if you're married, if you're whatever, last rites, you'll go to heaven. If your name is on the church roll, you'll go to heaven. But the Bible mentions none of those things. In fact, it mentions all of them, where it says people going about to establish their own righteousness have forgotten or rejected the righteousness of God Almighty and have left themselves sorely short. In wisdom and knowledge, moving on, because I do have quite a few of these, we go to what the current popular science would say. And, you know, for some of those things it's good, like, can you use bullet connectors for mains electricity? That's what I was hoping they would say, and they say you're better using those little blocks with the screws in them to connect mains electricity, or one of those plastic things with all the screws in it. You're better using that. I thought, great, there was an opportunity to get another tool and a box of bits that I could just easily crimp in, and it would be all done and it would look nice. The world has some nominal wisdom like that, but about the issues of life, the world doesn't even come close to what the Bible says. God says, look, if you want a good work ethic, do what the Bible says. If you want a good relationship with somebody, whether they're male or female, do what the Bible says. Love the Lord first, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Treat people properly. If you want peace in your heart, do what the Bible says. Give God all of your cares and your worries, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You can only do that after you've taken him up on his salvation. But he'll do that for you. How many pieces of secular wisdom have become out-and-out anti-Christian? Oh, I've got a baby on the way. How am I going to cope? I think I'll kill my baby. But I'll call it an abortion, and I'll call the baby a fetus or a bit of tissue. And it's allowed by the world. It might be slightly frowned upon in some circles, but it's pretty much allowed by the world. It's standard in some countries. And yet the Bible says we shouldn't be doing that. The fruit of the womb is precious.
The Bible says the Lord knew us before we were even formed in the womb. We should be careful. Whenever we have these other ideas, whenever God says to us, come to me and I will give you the proper direction or answer, we say no, unfortunately. Or what about when it comes to reading material? Oh, well, I don't have time to read the Bible because by the time I check my Twitter, my Facebook, my WhatsApp, my texts, did we do email? Email, what's happening on my favorite news sites, it's time to go to work or it's time to go to bed. And I can guarantee you, as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, that all of the wisdom and quotes or knowledge that you will come across on the internet is not going to be conducive to good mental health. God says, if you read his word, Romans chapter 1, it's the power of God unto salvation. It'll save your soul forever and it'll save your life right here and now. But yet and all, when he calls, how often do we not go? What about the purpose or the direction of our lives? Some might say, oh, I want to be a doctor, and that's noble, that. I want to be a fireman, that's good, or a policeman. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a shopkeeper. I want to be a teacher. There's whole bunches of things that people want to be. Unfortunately, a lot of people want to be sitting on their backside watching TV all day or surfing the web. But the Bible says we should ask God. Our overarching desire as Bible-believing Christians should be to point people to the foot of the cross. It was the very last thing that Jesus said whenever he went to heaven, go and preach the gospel to every creature. That doesn't mean you have to be a Bible preacher. But it does give you the authority to speak to anybody that you come across in the name of Jesus about their eternal souls. We should always mind the most important things in our life. Is it thrills and spills, or is it service to the King of Kings? And people don't like to hear that. Whenever we worship, God says, have no other gods before you. Isn't that what it says in the commandments? Of course it does. But yet and all, we will put jobs and family members and friends and hobbies and who knows what else, thrills and spills and entertainment, up as the most important thing in our lives. And then wonder whenever we can't do them anymore why our lives come tumbling down. The parable of the man that built his house on the rock and the other on the sand comes to mind whenever we say that. In praise, we're supposed to be praising the Lord. The Lord says, praise me. I'm great. I deserve it. And he does. But praise me. It's not all about telling people how wonderful they are and how much they're owed. The verses that Norman was reading says, humble yourself, excuse me, in the sight of the Lord, and in due time he will lift you up. Be careful those things that you lift up in your life. In your thoughts and your contemplations, God says, come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think about God and the things that he would have you to do. In your relationships, your wife, your husband, your mother, your father, are they lifted up and exalted more than God is? I know of people that have lifted up children and spouses and made them gods in their lives and then wonder why things don't go right. There's one God and there's one way to him, and that's Jesus Christ. And he said in John 14 that he was the way, the truth and the life. We ought to put him first and everything else will fall into place. What about in your work? Does going to work mean that you don't have to be a Christian, that you can be a cutthroat, whatever it is that you do at the expense of everybody else just to make sure that you hit your numbers? You can be a Christian everywhere. Doesn't mean you have to be a walkover. You can be firm but fair. You can be faithful. You can be early. You can be helpful. You can do what you can for the company or the people that you work for, but you can still call God your king. We need to call God our king. What about friends and neighbors and colleagues? Great. You have a mission field. Be a good example. God says you can do it one of two ways. You can be a Jack the Lad and everybody's favorite party animal, or you can be the person that's firm but fair and you know where they stand and will always point to the foot of the cross. You don't have to smack them up the head with a book the size of a breeze block that says Holy Bible on it. You can show people that Christians aren't Bible thumpers, as they say. Always. Your entertainment, the things that you do for to put in an hour or two. And there's no harm in stopping and resting your body for a while. Definitely not. The Lord even said, I'm setting a day aside for it in the week. You do need to stop and to rest. But what do we do with that time that we've set aside? Do we go and indulge in immorality and profanity? Is it all about an adrenaline jag? What do we do? What do we call good company? God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It almost sounds like I'm speaking about another portion, Matthew 11. But God says, come to me. I have fellowship for you. I have entertainment for you. I have fun for you. I have thrills for you that the world can't beat. Come to me. Your money. You had to have money in there somewhere. The Lord says, look, give me your tithe. If you want to give more than that, that's grand, but you should be giving me your tithe. Everybody tithes. Everybody gives to their God. Everybody spends money on the things that they love the most. And God says, if you love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, you should be able to give a little bit of money to it. So put your tithes in. And you will find that you've still enough for the rest of the week to eat and to keep a roof over your head. Don't forget to give God his dues. Holidays? Well, whenever you're on holidays, do you take a holiday from being a Christian? If it was at all possible, would that mean that you take a holiday from your guarantee of salvation? If you met the Lord because of an accident or design whenever you were on your holidays, would he say, well, I see you were in Amsterdam in the red light district. I guess you were taking a holiday for being a Christian. It's just a pity that you met your end there. Now I'm afraid you can't come into heaven. But that's not the way it works. But I knew of a preacher who went to Amsterdam for a week for his holidays. And everybody knows it's like the drug and immorality capital of Europe, if not the world. Be careful of your associations. Be careful of your standards. God has different ones to the world. And lastly, church. You have to have church in there somewhere. God says you should be in church as often as you can, especially as the days get darker and darker. We ought to be there. He says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that means if you're at all able, you should make a point of being there. That's it. It says that in the Bible. I'm preaching it. I don't like to be the one that sits with the big stick and says, why were you not at church? I'm putting an X down against your name for that day. Get three of those and then you're out in your ear. How many of us would make it then? We ought to be in church. I know there's days it seems like a grind. I know there's days where the songs don't quite do it and the Bible reading doesn't quite do it and the fellowship doesn't quite do it. But some days it's not for you to be tended to, it's for you to tend to somebody else. It's not to build up your faith. Some days it's to test your faith. So be in church. Those are just a handful of the things that I got to thinking about. God has an alternative for everything that the world has to offer, and the world has plenty to offer. There's many a church you'll go in that work would have been done like a month ago. The windows would all be in and the daylight would be flooding in and lifting our spirits. But what do they preach out of the NIV? The manga Bible? Something, some sort of nonsense, some soul-rotting drivel that they think because it's the published date on it is in the 2000s that it's far better for us. God says, come to me. The King James Bible. How many times have we done that? I have seen me do it sometimes. I have seen it quite plain as two choices. Do it God's way or do it your way. Which one is it to be, Mark? You're always better doing it God's way. He blesses no matter the time crunch. God blesses when you do it his way. I know sometimes our feelings dictate differently. Popular opinion dictates differently. And it might even be advantageous to us socially or financially or some way to do it the way the world would say. But eventually it'll go bad. Eventually it'll stop working. And it'll be like ashes in your mouth. When you do it God's way, sometimes it's harder. Yep, sometimes it's hard on the conscience. It's hard in the pocket. It's hard on the mind and the social standing to admit that you've made a mistake or you're going to go and do it a different way. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Better a life full of God's company, and I mean God's company, not just God's people's company. Better a life full of God's company and blessing and power and purpose and peace and wisdom and service than a bank account full of money and a room full of fair weather friends. It is far better for you. How many times has the Lord convicted about behavior? Many times has he spoken to you and said, well? Many times, whenever he has done that, has he brought to you a Bible verse? One that explicitly speaks for or against the direction that you were planning to do. And yet we still did it our way. Who was it that sang that? I did it my way. Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Doesn't always sit well with us to serve the Lord. It certainly doesn't. It doesn't sit well with our view of things, with the worldly view of things. But even though you maybe have, in theory, decades of life ahead of you, you have an eternity of life ahead of you as well. When this life, when this body is done. And that is going to be spent with your Saviour in heaven or without him in hell. And then in front of the great white throne of judgment. And then in the lake of fire forever and ever. And I figure, you know, you're far better keeping in tight with the God that gave us life to save us. With the God that continues to give us life to keep, well, to save our lives. So the question really is, do we let the Lord gather us to himself as a hen gathers her chickens? Or, and reap the benefits of a closer walk with God. And there are benefits. Or do we go another way? I think it was in John 9 or John 10 where the Lord said, the owner of the sheep goes in by the door, but a thief and a robber will try some other way. That is up to you. And that's the great thing about Bible-believing Christianity. It's up to you. But God has shown us what works best. Don't be the ye would not. do what God says. Sometimes it's tricky, but it's better for us. Stopping there. Thank you for your time. We'll sing a song and then we'll be done. Amen. I think it's in the wee black books. You'd like to take and turn to I Am His and He Is Mine. That'd be right. Hymn number 25. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Hymn number 25, I Am His and He Is Mine. Time. Lots to pray about. Pray you have a good Lord's Day as well. See you back at the next appointed time. Well, would you dismiss us with a wee word of prayer, if you would,
Father,
brother?
Father, thank you for the service, Lord. Touch our hearts, touch our souls, Lord, and draw us closer to Thee, Lord. We've asked them for all, bring them to church at the appointed time, Lord. But Christian, tell us as their way and thank, Lord, to provide for them, keep them safe and well. With all the church services throughout this world that have finished or are about to begin, Lord, or in progress, Lord. Rift the souls, Lord, and touch the lost, Lord. Convict the lost with the touch of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and save souls mighty and upbraid the saved, Lord, and draw a closer walk to thee for those that are saved, Lord. And Lord, forgive us this day, Lord. Thank you for everything. Provide for our Sunday meal, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for your salvation, Lord. rivers tonight, this day, Lord, and bring us into the service tonight, Lord. We're first and keep us from our honor for our good for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Folks.